abideth in me. Amen. You be seated. I'll say good evening to the congregation. Again, we're going to continue our travel through the Old Testament, God's Word. On last evening, we took ourselves a look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those three promises that God had called Abraham to. And we still have in our lives on this day the fulfillment of that promise through one Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. So we find ourselves going from Canaan to Egypt at this particular time. But just before we step from Canaan to Egypt, I want you to look at this little area in the scripture where the Bible talks about Jacob, his name becomes Israel, and he has 12 sons. But he also has a daughter. And I don't know if you're familiar with that daughter or even what her name is, but he did have a daughter, and his daughter's name was Dinah. And in Genesis chapter 34, Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And we find that there was a guy by the name of Shechem that was in that land. His dad's name was Hamor. And Shechem defiled Dinah, Jacob's daughter. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter, and his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until his sons had come. Verse 13 says, chapter 34, and the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, because he has defiled Dinah, their sister. You see, there were two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi. And they hated the fact that Shechem had defiled their sister. And it came to pass on the third day, verse number 25 of chapter 34, when they were sore that two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew also Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. He had 12 sons. He also had a daughter by the name of Dinah, who was defiled by one Shechem when he had left his father-in-law's house to go back to Canaan. So as we walk through the scriptures in this Old Testament, we need to look at some things in there that's going to help us remember the stories that God has told us about the 12 sons of Jacob and his daughter as well. Again, what we're doing is keeping in mind the promises that God gave to Abraham, the land of promise, the nation promise, and the blessing of all nations, that promise. Because as he went to dwell in Canaan, Jacob, his 12th son Benjamin was born as well. And the 12 sons of Israel became the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, and they were in the land of Canaan. And now as we continue our journey, we're going from the land of Canaan to the land of Egypt. From the land of Canaan to the land of Egypt. And God gave the name Israel to Jacob in chapter 35 and verse number 10. And after the birth of Benjamin, Israel and his 12 sons and his daughter Dinah were in Canaan. As God promised, he blessed all the nations of the earth through Israel, the seed of Abraham and Isaac. One Jesus Christ of Nazareth was born of the tribe of Judah from Israel's third son, Reuben, Simeon, Judah. Levi was number 4. Jesus died for the sins of the people of all nations. Therefore, God blessed all of us in Jesus Christ through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and also the nation of Israel. And as we come into that particular picture, we find Israel settling in that land. And the Bible comes to us and it says these words in chapter 37. Israel loved Joseph more than his other children because Joseph was the son of his old age. That's something we have to keep in mind. We're looking at the thread of salvation from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation. Israel loved Joseph more than his other children because Joseph was the son of his old age. And he gave him a coat of many colors. And Joseph, he dreamed dreams. And because he dreamed dreams, he felt he had to tell his brothers and his family those dreams. And one of those dreams was that his family would bow down to him. Because Israel failed Joseph and Joseph told his dreams, his brothers hated him, hated him. So Israel sent Joseph with supplies to his older brothers who were caring for sheep in another area of Canaan. And when his brothers saw Joseph approaching, some said, "Let's kill him and tell father that a wild animal had eaten him." But Reuben and Judah persuaded the others to not kill Joseph, but to put him in a pit and sell him as a slave to traders. So the brothers sold Joseph to the Midianite merchants who were passing by, and they took Joseph from Canaan to Egypt. That's where we're going, from Canaan to Egypt. And the brothers dipped Joseph's coat in animal blood and showed it to Israel, saying, "Wild animals had killed Joseph." And Israel, whose former name was Jacob, was very sad and mourned greatly for the death of his son Joseph, whom he loved. Now in Egypt, Joseph was sold as a slave to one by the name of Potiphar. He was an officer of the Pharaoh. And God was with Joseph, and he blessed all the affairs of Potiphar and his household. And Joseph was given charge of Potiphar's possessions. However, there's another segment of history that we're too familiar with. Potiphar's wife attempted to seduce Joseph. And when Joseph refused, she falsely accused Joseph, and he was put into prison. But here's what Joseph had to say in his refusal to Potiphar's wife. "Behold, my master had committed all that he has to my hands. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither have he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Well, Joseph was put in a predicament by a Potiphar's wife. But it's God that you see running through the thread of this whole Bible and in our lives as well that causes us to have discernment to know right from wrong and good from evil. And he always provides a way out of temptation for each and every one of us. And one of those things is to just sometimes you just got to run. You got to run. So he found himself in prison, a young man, away from his homeland, away from his father and his brother, sold into slavery. But God was with him, and God favored Joseph. And he was placed in charge of the prisoners. There was a butler, Pharaoh's butler, and also a baker who were there in prison. And both of them had dreams. The butler dreamed he had three branches in his hand, and the branches bloomed and produced grapes, which the butler put into a cup and served to Pharaoh. The baker dreamed he had three white baskets on his head, and the top of the basket was full of food for the Pharaoh. But the birds came and ate the food from the basket while it was on the baker's head. And God called Joseph to interpret those dreams from those two guys. And he told the butler his dream meant that in 3 days he'd be released again to serve the Pharaoh. And he told the baker that his dream meant that in 3 days he'd be put to death by the Pharaoh. The butler was released from prison and restored to his position, but the baker, he was put to death. But Joseph asked the butler to remember Joseph when he was released. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 40, verses 23, "But the butler forgot." It reminds me of the Christ when he was on the cross and he was asked by one to remember me. What a sad commentary it would have been if God had written in the scripture at that time, "But Jesus forgot." Oftentimes I wonder in my own heart and mind the things that God asks us to do through his word. As we study and walk through these scriptures of the Old Testament and remember those things in the past that were there for our learning, I remember how much we have forgotten. And why have we forgotten those things? Later, Pharaoh dreamed two dreams, which his magicians and wise men couldn't interpret. Finally, the butler remembered Joseph. He was sent from prison, and God enabled Joseph to correctly interpret the dreams, indicating the entire countryside would enjoy 7 years of good crops and 7 years of famine. The Pharaoh recognized God's providential care of Joseph and placed him in charge of the storing the grain from years of plenty for the years of famine. The famine came. And the famine was so hard in Egypt that people had to use their money and their possessions and their cattle and their lands to buy grain stored under the care of one whose name was Joseph. But back in Canaan, where his family was, Israel and his family also suffered in the famine. So we're coming from Canaan to Egypt. Keep that in mind. And how God works out things in our lives to save our very lives, our souls. And Israel sent his sons to Egypt to buy grain. But Israel refused to send his youngest son Benjamin with them. And in Egypt, they were brought before one by the name of Joseph, their brother. And they bowed down to Joseph, fulfilling Joseph's dreams that his family was going to bow down before him. And Joseph recognized them, but they didn't recognize Joseph. And he asked them about their father and about Benjamin. And he provided them with grain. But in order to have more contact with them, Joseph accused them of being spies, and he kept Simeon until he returned with proof that they had a father and a younger brother. So without Simeon, here they go, all the way back to Canaan with just the grain. And of course, it saddened Israel because he had the loss of another son in his mind. So the famine continued. And eventually, the brothers had to return to Egypt to buy more food. In order to do as Joseph had commanded, to prove the sons of Israel were not spies, Israel finally agreed that Benjamin can go with them. And when they got back, the Bible explains that Joseph, he wept. He left their presence and he went and wept bitterly. And he finally revealed his identity to his brothers. And his brothers were so afraid, they thought that Joseph was going to kill them in retaliation. But you know, Joseph was really their savior, wasn't he? Just like Jesus the Christ is our savior as well. I imagine, I wonder in the hearts and minds of those who or at the resurrection, and those whom Jesus appeared to 40 days after, and those who saw Jesus, I wonder in their minds, and they thought that Jesus was going to retaliate because they had killed him. And what could they do? What could they possibly do but repent? So Joseph made arrangements for all of Israel's household to come down to Goshen in the land of Egypt to live throughout the famine. And Joseph said to his brethren in chapter 45, "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve your life. And God sent me before you to preserve you posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." And so it happened that they had to travel back to the land of Canaan to bring the body of Israel because he died in Egypt. And when he died, the brothers still feared Joseph because they thought he would retaliate against him again because the dad was dead now. But this is what Moses wrote in Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 20. He says, "Fear not." Joseph says, "For I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good." He says, What you did to me when I was a young child at 17 years of age, you meant it for evil. You sold me for evil, but God meant it for good to bring to pass this day to save you and much people alive. God is an awesome God. He works out things for our deliverance, even when we don't even recognize it. Some things we mean for evil, God means those things for good, and he delivers us, even those of us who commit the evil. He forgives us and he delivers us on our way from this Egypt that we live in to the eternal land of Canaan up in heaven. God is delivering us each and every day of our lives. So we walk and we pray and we live. And God delivers us from evil, doesn't he? Deliver us from evil. And Jesus Christ stands in the place of God and continues to call us home to the wonderful kingdom that he's prepared for us to bring our whole family and save us from the famine that is in our lives, the sin that's killing us from within. God calls us out of the famine, and he calls us to come home, come to where I am. I've got plenty, and I've been preparing it for a very long time. And when Israel received the news that his son was alive, he says, bring your whole family to Egypt. Come on to Egypt. Come on up here. Come see your son, who you've been mourning for a very long time. Again, my son was dead, but now he's alive. You see the thread? As we walk through the Old Testament, he was dead, but now yet he is alive. And we celebrate that. And God continues to fulfill his promise through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those 12 sons. Because God appeared to Israel and told him not to fear, because God will make his seed a great nation to fulfill the nation, the land, and the blessings of promise that he made to his forefathers. And he also promised that even though you're in Egypt, I'm going to bring you out of Egypt once again. I'll bring you out. Here's what I want you to understand. Depending on who you count or who's doing the counting, about 70 of the family of Israel went into Egypt, about 70 of his people he took to Egypt with him. And Israel lived in Egypt with his family for 17 years, and he died at the age of 147 years old. And before his death, he requested that they take his body back to Canaan for burial. He was buried in the cave of Machpelah, where Sarah and Abraham were buried, his forefathers. Just little bits and pieces, little pearls that we have to know to continue to put this thing together. And when Israel died, Joseph and the other sons took his body to Canaan, and he was buried. But Joseph continued to age as well, didn't he? He didn't stop living. And later he also died. And before his death, he had a request as well. He says, I want the children of Israel to promise to carry my body and my bones from Egypt to the land of Canaan. When that promise is going to be fulfilled, take me out of here. And that's the same promise that God gives to each and every one of us. And when we die here on earth, in this Egypt that we live, God has promised to take us out of this land and bring us into the land of promise. If we do those things that God has called us to do, we are recipients of the exact same thing. We are the children of Abraham, seeds of the promise. And how we live on this side, and how we obey the Father on this side, determines whether our requests to carry our souls, our spirits, our very lives out of this Egypt into that land of Canaan. Oh, it's a long journey. It doesn't happen overnight. And there are a lot of things that are going to happen, a lot of circumstances that are going to arise in your life, but you got to keep on walking. You got to keep on traveling. You can't let those things discourage you, because God's promises are sure. He's promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob he would give him the seed of the promise, one Jesus Christ. He had a son by the name of Judah, and Jesus Christ was born from the tribe of Judah. And one of the names of Jesus was indicated as he was the Lion of Judah. And those are the things that we need to know and understand as we learn God's word, as we study it and internalize it, that God gave us Israel. And God gave us Israel as his bride, one to be married. He sought her out. And he took her in. He gave her seed that she might produce the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. to fulfill all the promises that he had made to our forefathers. It wasn't just dreams. It wasn't just hopes. It wasn't just promises. It was fulfillment of those promises that we see today as we sit in the kingdom of God, the church that Christ purchased with his own blood. And we are recipients of that same promise. So as God told Abraham three generations before, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob moved into Egypt. And they remained there 400 years until it was time for God to fulfill the nation, land, and blessings and promises once again. 400 years. And the Bible says Joseph was forgotten in Egypt. Another Pharaoh came on the scene, you see. And because he knew nothing about Joseph, about the God that Joseph served, we find the children of Israel being punished in the land of Egypt. But remember that piece of property that they were on called Goshen. Remember Goshen. When you study this particular part of the scripture, remember Goshen. It's important in our lives to know Goshen. Because when the plague of darkness came, there was light in Goshen, amen? No matter what goes on in the church that Christ has established, we live in Egypt, but the church is our Goshen. And there is always light there because of the promise that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's by that light he's going to lead us out into the eternal kingdom that he has purchased with his own blood. What a wonderful way that God gives us to be able to look into his word and understand it and see the thread that runs, that salvation that runs from Genesis chapter 1 up until this point where we are even now. But we are called by God to a commitment to the word, this gospel of Jesus Christ. And we ought to be one to say, send me, Lord, to do your will, to do your bidding. Joseph didn't volunteer. It was God's will that he be put into a pit at the tender age of 17, be jailed, and go through the pain and misery of being without his family all that time. And God delivered him, and he delivered God's people because he was faithful to God. He never waned. You know, sometimes we get in trouble and we don't even think about God. And we're so deep in trouble sometimes, we can't even imagine getting out of that trouble. But God tests us, doesn't he? He tests us in ways that we can't even think or imagine. And he reproves us. And he blesses us and forgives us. We find ourselves in the light of his word, and our lives are changed. God has clearly demonstrated his plan to redeem our lives. His plan to redeem us from all unrighteousness. If you've been redeemed, if you're still traveling the land of Goshen, our hands ought to be raised in praise to God every waking moment of our lives. No matter what we've been through or where we think we're going, if we're one with Christ, we're going to find ourselves leaving Egypt and going to Canaan. I appreciate your attention tonight. The next lesson that we're going to be covering in this series, lesson 4, is how the family of Israel becomes the nation of Israel and how God fulfills his promise that they will not be staying in Egypt. And we run into a word that's called Exodus. 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 God has called us to understand that he fulfills his promises, and he has promised us life and life eternal in one Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. And that promise is extended to all that would obey his word. But we've got to hear it. We've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ. And we've got to repent of our sins and confess Christ with our lives, our speech, our behavior, with our very being. We've got to be baptized in Christ for the remission of our sins and continue to live faithfully, continue to walk faithfully with God, that his promises in our lives might be renewed daily. And that's what it's all about. It's a daily walk where God renews us continually. But for some, we don't find ourselves in that renewal line. Sometimes we find ourselves in another line altogether. If you need to be renewed by Christ to continue to walk from this land of Egypt, this land of sin, into the land of opportunity where Christ is at the right hand of the Father, will you come as we stand and sing the invitation song?
There's a fountain. 10, 4.